Hey there, students, and welcome back to Intensive Review. In this segment, we're going to look at USHC 1.5, which is going to focus on the principles of the Constitution. The last segment, we looked at the Constitution versus the Articles, and then we looked at ratification, but there could be a question about what is really contained in the Constitution. Now, first of all, stop, this means you. Constitutional government is what kind of government? Limited government, that a constitutional government is limited by law. That is the first principle of the Constitution, the principle of limited government. And if you know nothing else about a constitution, know that it limits government. That is the whole point of a constitution. And the Constitution limits the government in three ways. First of all, through federalism, which we have multiple layers of government. We have two levels of government, federal government and state governments. Then, checks and balances and separation of powers. We've got the legislative, the executive, and the judicial branch. So we've got three branches of government. And then we have the Bill of Rights. So these are the three mechanisms by which the power of the federal government, of the central authority, is limited by the Constitution. So first of all, federalism. Now this is where the federal government, the state governments, they share power. So federal government, don't drink all of my milkshake. All right, you need to share that there are some powers that belong to the states. There are some powers that are federal, there are some powers that are state, and there are some that are shared. Now, these are known as, first of all, delegated powers. All right, that really the Constitution puts the states as the chief authorities because the states delegate powers to the central government. Keep in mind, I would not delegate a power to my principal, Mr. Roberts. He would delegate something to me. So the delegated powers, these are powers given to the federal government, delegated by the states to the central government. Then there are reserve powers, like don't park in my spot. These are powers that are kept by the states and the people. Now keep in mind that education, I work for the state. That is a reserved power. Now, even though the federal government meddles in that a good bit. Then highways. You see state workers building highways, oftentimes with a lot of federal dollars, but that is an example of a reserved power. Your driver's license is a state driver's license, not a national driver's license. And then there are concurrent powers, powers that are shared by both levels of government. So those are the three types of power here. So we see in federalism, sovereignty is shared between the federal government and the state governments, that no government is completely sovereign. And in the Federalist Number 45, James Madison wrote, "The powers delegated by the proposed Constitution of the federal government, which are few and defined. Those which are to remain in the state governments are numerous and indefinite." Now, we can kind of ha-ha today, but at the same time, this is sort of the point that James Madison's making. Keep in mind, he's trying to reassure anti-federalists, all right, that, you know, the federal government's powers are specifically enumerated or delegated. Keep in mind, you could see delegated or enumerated powers or something like that. And federalism's pretty popular across the globe. When you look at this map, you see that there are several federal states that exist. You look at Canada, Brazil, Australia, and a lot of other places like that. And just a little bit here about federal powers, state powers, that sort of thing. And Montesquieu, of course, was an influencer of the Constitution. This idea of having separation of powers, having a legislative branch, which makes the laws, that's the Congress. The executive branch, the president, is in charge of the branch which enforces the laws, and then the judicial branch, which judges the laws when they're in dispute. And according to Montesquieu, different people needed to hold these powers in a republican form of government so that one person or group could not monopolize power. And then you see here a map of the system of checks and balances, all right? That checks and balances, this is where even these government officials aren't sovereign in their own sphere, because how does somebody get on the judiciary? All right, every federal judge has to be nominated by the president and approved by Congress. When Congress passes legislation, it has to be signed by the president, or the president can veto it, which is really the number one check on another branch. This is the most frequently referred to and used. And then Congress can refuse to confirm nominees for the judiciary or for cabinet positions and that sort of thing, and ambassadors. So the president, keep in mind, is the commander-in-chief, but it's Congress that declares war. So there are lots of checks and balances in addition to separation of powers to make sure that no one person or group can have absolute authority. And we also see in, like, the treaty ratification that the president negotiates treaties with the advice and consent of the Senate and needs two-thirds of the Senate to ratify, as we'll talk about when we get to Woodrow Wilson. All right, so the veto. Keep in mind that's the most important one. And then there's the tradition of ordered government. Remember Shays' Rebellion, that the Constitution is about limited government, but also having a government that can keep order. A stronger central government, a more perfect union. And with that, we've taken a brief look at the principles of the Constitution, and this is not a government course. We're just scratching the surface, but hopefully that'll help you on your test. In the next segment, we're going to look at Washington's first cabinet and the advent of the first two-party system and the conflicts between Jefferson and Hamilton. Hope you'll join us. What's my tagline there?
See you in a bit.
Yeah, see you in a bit.